Well, I welcome you once again to our Sunday school portion of our ministry here at Grace Baptist Church. I want to thank those who have been attending these messages, and I want everyone to know that I do put all that I have into these and must wait upon the Lord at times for Him to prompt me with these messages. But may I assure you that it is my focus to make these messages as from the Lord and not just something I dream up on my own. So I appreciate you who are listening to these messages as well. Today, we want to look at Lord of all. Lord of all. And as we so often do, I want us to begin with a close look at the key word in that title. And of course, that word is Lord. In the King James Version, the vast majority of times that you see the word Lord in the Old Testament, the word is actually the name Jehovah or Yahweh. Nonetheless, there are two primary words in the Old Testament for the word Lord, the Hebrew words that are translated Lord, Adon and Adonai, which mean, those words mean, when translated Lord, sovereign, controller, ruler, possessor, owner, Lord par excellence, or Lord over all, superior in all matters. The New Testament word is much the same. The New Testament word, kurios, meaning master, owner, possessor, sovereign, supreme in authority and control. Supreme in authority and control. In the Holy Scriptures, you will note, if you read them, in both Old and New Testaments, the term Lord may be applied to God, of course, and men. A clear example of man referred to as Lord, and when I say that, man referred to as Lord, that is a lowercase, a small l, whereas, of course, Lord, when applied to God, would be a capital L. And the example I want to cite comes from 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. I'm going to read a little of it, but comment on a part of it. In 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7, the Apostle Peter refers to Sarah as respecting the authority of her husband Abraham as superior in the human family unit. That's the way Sarah treated Abraham, as superior in the human family unit. In that text, Peter instructs the Christian wives to be submissive to their husbands. The wife's adornment was not to be that of an outward appearance, but of the hidden, the inward person of the heart, a gentle and quiet spirit. Ladies, I hope you're listening, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God, also adorned themselves inwardly, being submissive to their own husbands, now listen, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. The lowercase L, calling him Lord. And may I say, all holy women who trust in God behave the very same way. And that applies to this present day. Goodness, I see so often women professing to be Christians, who in their behavior exemplify anything but what we just read about Sarah. Might want to think about that. And then, of course, men. Men are not acting like men today either, and many of those who are professing Christians. Of men being referred to as lords, Isaiah 26:13 records this. O Lord, our God. They address the Lord God. O Lord, our God, lords, small l, besides you have had dominion over us. Men have had dominion over us. And that is in the purpose of God. Both the Old and New Testament bear witness that God in the person, listen to me now. Both the Old and New Testament bear witness that God in the person of Jesus Christ is God of gods, King of kings and Lord of lords, acknowledging not only the supreme superiority of Christ over the small l lords among men, but also that acknowledges then the lesser lords do exist according to the purpose of God. Deuteronomy 10:17. For the Lord your God, the God of gods and Lord of lords, the God of gods, capital G, little g, Lord of lords, capital L, little l, the great God, mighty and awesome. And again, folks, I'm applying that scripture, Deuteronomy 10:17, to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord your God, the God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. And the New Testament, with apostolic authority, proclaims by the will and power of God that there will be an appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to quote 1 Timothy 6:15. There will be an appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will manifest in his own time, the blessed and only sovereign. I know the King James says potentate. I think the better word there is sovereign. The King of kings and Lord of lords. The King of kings and Lord of lords. 1 Timothy 6:15. Now those two scriptures, Deuteronomy and 1 Timothy, match up perfectly. That's why I apply Deuteronomy to Jesus Christ. As the Bible says, there are lords many, little l. But folks, there is only one Lord who is God. One. I'm going to go on looking at submission. This is a little aside, if you will, but something we all need to hear and understand. Though Christian wives must be submissive to their own husbands, and all Christians must submit to those in proper authority, we are not to submit to anyone who takes a position opposed to God's revealed will. The apostles were confronted with that on a number of occasions. And Acts chapters 4 and 5 give two clear-cut, real-life examples for our learning. That's why I present this. Now, don't try to follow with me in this particular text. We'll be looking at some you can follow. But in this particular text, I am going to be skipping about a bit. And you need to listen, as I often tell you, because there's a narrative here that we need to understand. Peter and John were about to enter the temple, and they healed a crippled man in the name of Jesus Christ. And as they did so, they were viewed, and of course this went about to all the people, and it was quite a reaction to this. And this, of course, bothered these religious leaders of the day. To the degree, folks, that these religious leaders held Peter and John in custody overnight over that matter. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, the rulers of the Jews, elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John and Alexander, now these are not, that's not John the apostle, John and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And in their talks with one another, we see this. They say, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak no more in the name of this man." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge." Now, folks, that's an issue. And we need to come to grips with that and listen to the word of God. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Over in Acts chapter 5, we have another incident. And the apostles were again preaching Christ when this happened. "Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.'" Now, folks, that wasn't an option given to the apostles. This was the command of God, and they understood it so to be. "And when they heard, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent them to the prison to have them brought." And sent to the prison to have them brought. "But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, 'Indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside.' Now, when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what would the outcome be. So one came and told them, saying, 'Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching in the temple and teaching the people.' Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And why is that true? Listen to what follows. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand, Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. To our present day men who preach the gospel and teach the doctrine, if we're commanded not to do so, who do we obey? God or men? The case is clear, and I don't know, as these days draw to a close, might we not see in this country, which is taking a bad turn to the wrong side, might we not see this very thing happen to us? Are we willing to go to prison? Are we willing also maybe to be put to death? Now, I'm not trying to create anything, folks, but you never know what might be the Lord's will in such a case. Well, I want us to move on now in the revelation of the Lord of all. And we're going to now go to Malachi chapter 3, and listen very closely, please. Going to make a case here. It's solid because it's from the Word of God. God says this. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, says this. For as Peter's first letter tells us, these prophets spoke by the Spirit of Christ. Behold, I send my messenger. Christ says, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. Now here, Christ is going to send a messenger, and Christ calls himself a messenger who will be a messenger of the covenant. And in this messenger in whom you delight, behold, he is coming. Christ speaks of him coming. Behold, he is coming. And who says that? The Lord of hosts. Now, in Jeremiah 7:3, you'll find that the Lord of hosts is identified as the God of Israel. God. And folks, we know, when we reach the bottom line, when we speak of the Israel of God, we're speaking of the church. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the church. Folks, that's none other than Jesus Christ. But who can endure the day of his coming? Now, you may be looking to the end, but I think this speaks of his first coming here. The first coming of Jesus Christ as a man. And listen to the text. And who can stand when he appears? What happened when Christ came that first time? The light of the world came. His light exposed all darkness. For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Titus 2:14. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a special people zealous of good works. Now continuing there in Malachi, he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. 1 Peter 2:5. They will offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This Lord of hosts, this God of the church, this God of gods, Lord of lords, is none other than Jesus Christ. And may I note for you where that is coming from. The eternal God is speaking that. And when we think of Malachi 4 to 450 years before Christ, he was Lord then. And of course, speaking through the prophet, he speaks from eternity. And he's always been Lord, folks. Always been the Lord of hosts. And of course, we cannot forget Isaiah 40, verse 3, which identifies Christ as that Lord that we speak of, that we spoke of in Malachi. And this is verified by apostolic authority in Matthew 3, verses 1 through 3, where Isaiah 43 is quoted. Matthew, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The Lord, our God. These scriptures undeniably proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Lord of hosts and God. He is the eternal Lord of hosts, the eternal God. Does not the New Testament say Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever? There has never been a point in time or eternity where Jesus Christ was not Lord. That's a fact. Even when Christ's humanity was crucified, even when Christ's humanity was crucified, he was still the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2:8. For had those who put him on the cross known, this is what is said. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. When Jesus Christ, the human being, was planted as a seed in the Virgin Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit of God, he was Lord. He was Lord. If you've been listening to me from eternity. And this was proven when he was born by Mary, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And I want to go there. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading verses 7 through 11. Speaking of Mary now. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, both the Jews and the Gentiles. That's all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ. Now, folks, your texts say the Lord. The word the is not there because we have two names here. And listen to me, I hope this makes the impact. And again, that's the way that it is in the literal text. Who is Christ, Lord? Who is Christ, Lord? What else? Now listen. What else could the eternal Lord of hosts, who is the God of Israel, the Israel of God, the church, what else could that newborn be called but what he had been from eternity? Lord, Lord, Christ, Lord. I want to go to the book of Acts again, looking in Acts chapter 10. This is where we get our title from today, but we need to listen to this context here. Acts 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, Jews or Gentiles. He doesn't respect your nationality or your race or whatever. He saves all kinds of people out of every kindred, language, tribe, and nation. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Accepted by him. "The word which he sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Lord of all. "That word, you know, they heard the preaching, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us." Remember when the apostles were spoken to by that angel. "And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God, judge of the living and the dead." Yes, folks, he is Lord of all. "To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." Plainly and simply, at no point in time can anyone who professes to be a Christian deny that Christ is not Lord. If you profess to be a Christian, there should have been no point in time from that profession that you have ever denied that Christ is Lord. And as we have seen, If you are truly a Christian, you have bowed the knee, and I really mean that spiritually. You may do that physically speaking, and that's fine if it's from the heart, but who have bowed the knee spiritually and recognize him. Now listen to me. This is very important. Don't be looking at me or thinking about anyone else. This is for you, for you. Do you recognize him as Lord? Therefore, do you recognize him as your sovereign, as your ruler, as your owner, that he is supreme in authority over you? Supreme in authority, then, over your life and everything that happens to you. Do you do so every day? Not just sometime or even most of the time, but all of the time and eternally. And eternally. He is Lord of all. Superior in all matters. And that means in all things that matter to you. And I want to speak to those, and I do recognize that there are those people who agree with our doctrine. And I want to speak to those who may agree with this doctrine and even profess to be a Christian. And I want to bring to our attention, yours and mine, the bottom line for a personal profession of Christ as Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Have you made a personal profession of Christ as Lord? 1 Corinthians 12:3. No one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one, how many does that leave out who are professors? That doesn't leave out anybody. And no one who can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, you may mouth that, but God sees the heart. He knows the intention. He knows whether that's real or not, because he's the one that plants it in the soul of those where it's real. Now, if you've done that, professed Christ as Lord from the heart, when that happens in a person's life, we will see the fruit of the Holy Spirit, leading to a more holy life day by day. Are you listening? Where Christ is Lord of all. Amen.